So we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah. Today's daf, Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Mem Zayin, and we are at the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Vav, Amud Beit, Notnim Tafshil Letoch HaBor, Bishvil Sheyeh Shamur, V'Tavayim HaYafim Bera'im, Bishvil Sheyitzanenu. So over here we have something that seems quite obvious, and indeed it seems to be brought only because of the halakha at the end of the Mishnah. And that is that you can insulate things if to keep them cold. And you can even put them inside of a what passed for a refrigeration pit, you know, which stayed cool. And you could even take water, which was good drinking water that you had in a bottle. You could put it inside of like a filthy flowing stream or a well that you wouldn't drink the water from in order to keep your water cold. And again, that was the equivalent to putting it in the fridge. You'd even be allowed to put cold things into the sun in order that they should warm up. And again, of course, it's not considered to be bechlal derech bishul because there's no iser of cooking in the sun. Somebody whose clothing got soaking wet, and he was along the road, we were not mechayev him because of the chashad that people will think that maybe he washed his clothes on Shabbos. We're not mechayev him to take off his clothes and to leave them there, but he could continue to walk until he gets to a place where his clothes will be safe. And even though people are looking at him as he's walking along with his clothes soaking wet, we're not choshesh. But once he gets into a place where he'd be able to take off his clothes and not have them stolen, so he gets into town, even if he's in the Chatzar Chitzonah, once he's already in the Rishus HaYochid, so over there he can take them off, spread them out in the sun, but not where people will see. So Avalo Kineged Ha'am. What's the Chiddush of the Mishnah B'chalal? I mean, the whole thing is clear. Any child knows this, no? No. The problem over here really is only said because of the specific instance of the bor. Since in order to put your cholent pot down, what you're going to sometimes possibly need to do would be to smooth out the bottom of the bor. So you would think, okay, so I'm not going to put something into a fridge where there's a chashash of ashviya gumais. Because of that, the Mishnah says, we're not kosher. So when it comes to the food issues, again, remember that we've been talking about a lot of ideas that are essentially dispensations because of the need to be able, a person should be able to have a Shabbos, which is a Shabbos that is oneg. We're going to see even issues to avoid because they may lead you to lose some of your oneg Shabbos. And because of that, Chazal gave us dispensations for caring for a child and dispensations for taking care of your food and dispensations for Kovod HaAdam and dispensations for Kovod HaMeis and so on and so forth. So basically over here, we're not mechayev you to take off your clothing, but be careful that it shouldn't be taken and spread out in the sun in a place where, wow, that looks funny. He's putting out his clothes to dry on Shabbos. That's a Chiddush. So it's because of Ashviya Gumas. Ves Hamayim Beraim. It's also obvious, isn't it? I mean, why not? I'm just putting a bottle of water into cold water. Because the truth is, you're right. But since what we're describing over here are a list of hanhogas, the way in which you do things on Shabbos, putting things in a fridge. Okay, so because we want to get to the idea that you're allowed to warm up cold water in the sun, so because of that, we write you're allowed to put the cold water also in the fridge. Well, I don't understand. I mean, that's also obvious. Why wouldn't you be able to put it in the sun? Nami pshita. Now, that you could think because maybe we should make a gezerah, diamati litmuni beremetz. I mean, remember, we have so many gezerahs when it comes to keeping things warm. We're choshesh always for the problem of maybe you'll come to blow on the coals and something like that, right? So we're extremely makpid on all of that back at the beginning of the Masechet. So you might have thought that even to warm things up in a way which is mutter, we should be choshish that somebody is going to use coals. And from then, all kinds of things can happen. You could actually be Mavasho, possibly. Misha Nashu, this is very interesting, because it says you can hang up the clothes to dry, but don't do it in public. Now, that's a big, big question. Because the Shaila is, how do I look at this entire concept of what's called the chashash that people are going to think that you did something, which is called Mar'it Ha'ayin. Looks bad. It just looks bad. There's absolutely nothing wrong that you did. But because of the general hakpada that we have in the Vehayitem Nikiyim and so on, so those type of things are aser. There's two ways of understanding those types of things are aser. One is, it's aser because you don't want to do something that will cause people to be chashish you. But the other way of understanding it is that, look, I mean, there's an infinity of things like that. The point is that there are particular behaviors that Chazal asered mishum marisayin, right? So that even though you don't think it's a problem, we say this is something that you shouldn't do. And this is one of them. We're telling you, don't put it kineged ha'am. At least it looks like that. So then the question is, if we made a gezeira mishum marisayin, is that nothing other than pointing out to you the general din of marisayin? Or is that creating a new gezeira? This behavior is prohibited. If the latter, so then you've got an issue, because what's the difference whether people are there or not? The Chachamim say that this is the wrong behavior, perhaps because of the time that someone will see you, but then you wouldn't be allowed to do it any time. Now that halacha is called exactly what Rav Yehuda quoted Rav as saying. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav, kol makom she'asru chachamim b'pnei mar'it ha'ayin, afilu b'chadrei chadarim asur. If the chachamim said something is asur, then you cannot do it even if you are in the most hidden part of your house. Now, obviously, our Mishnah doesn't seem to subscribe to such a shita, because over here it says, Shotchan b'chama avalo keneged ha'am. Answers the Gemara, Tanoihi, the Tanya, Shotchan b'chama avalo keneged ha'am, whereas Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, are osrim. Okay, so clearly there's a major machlokas about whether it's true that afilu b'chadrei chadorim are osur. Now, we paskin that something that involves a chashash on a diaraisa, so over here, people will say you washed your clothing on Shabbos. That's that they are chayshidu of a diaraisa. There we paskin that afilu b'chadrei chadorim, it would be osur. But in something where the chashad would be on a derabbanan, then we say that Rabbanan didn't create it as a new concept of Yisr, and over there it would be Mutter. Well, this is very Nogea issues of Yom Tov Sheni and Chutz Laretz and so on, where we have this whole idea of not being Mechal Yom Tov in front of people that are keeping Yom Tov. So again, it would depend on the Chadrei Chadorim issue. So, I mean, are you allowed to make a phone call in private and so on? Omer Avuna, Haminaer talito b'shabbat, somebody who takes his talis and he shakes it out, and doing that in order to clean it from any dust that's on it, so he would be chayev achatas, because, this is how Rashi understands it, because he's basically being malabain. Other Rishonim Tain, including Tosfos, you can't be malabain without water. The point of malabain is that we only are basing it on what the Hanahoga was, where you had to wash something which was new wool and so on. So how could that be? So therefore, sometimes that the point over here is that we're only talking about a case where the beged became wet with towel. There's drops of water on it. That's the point. So according to that, it would be obviously not Nogea just getting a little bit of dust off, not to mention the fact we were talking about before about the Mechasches from the other side. I mean, wouldn't that be part of the same sugya as Reb Kivager points out over here, which is a little bit strange. The Rambam brings the entire halacha in a totally different context, and he understands it to be entirely a function of makeh bepatish. And it's talking about a new beged, so when he puts it together with other things, he talks about makeh bepatish and hamina'er talito achadasha. Remember, whenever you get these newly, you take from a tailor a newly sewn suit, there's always little pieces of threads that were cut, like a little piece of white thread here and there. And so taking off those threads, kiderech sha'al omanim osim chayev chatat, because again, that would be the conclusion of the asiyah of your suit. And therefore, it works out very well, according to the Rambam. Lo amaran ela bechanate. We're only talking about a brand new beged. Okay, obviously, then that would have to do with the question of makeh bepatish. If chadate doesn't mean a brand new beged, right? Chadate just means where you can see the difference. In other words, that it's smooth enough, then you can understand the other pshat. Avabatike, if you're talking about old talitot, letlanba. Furthermore, this is only nogea, something that it's very clear that it needs to be cleaned off, so that it's black, and any kind of threads, if you're learning that pshat, or tal, if you're learning that pshat, or dust, if you're learning that pshat, is very noticeable. But if you're wearing things where the coloration of the white doesn't show out against the material, let's say you're wearing a white shirt, or you're wearing red or something, which doesn't is not that sensitive to other coloration, so then we won't care at all. Letanba. And the most important part is that this is only true if it makes a difference. V'hu dekapid alayu. The point over here is that you want it. You don't want to wear these clothes if they've got this. And because of that, again, according to Rambam, because of that, it's makeh bepatish, because it's not ready to wear for you. Again, the Rambam Pshat is very, very well meyused in the way the Gemara is working this out. I mean, the question of whether something is considered libun as a matter of whether you are makbid or not is a little bit more of a chiddush, as you could see. Now, Ula once came to Pumbedita, and he sees all of the Talmidim, they're taking their jackets and they're shaking them out, you know, so Menapsik Limayu, and there it was on Shabbos. And he says, oh my God, these people are Mechalel Shabbos around here in Pumbedita. They don't know the halacha. Amarlo Rav Yehuda was Rosh Yeshiva. He said to his Talmidim over there, take your jackets and shake it in his face, man. Don't pay no attention to the guy behind the curtain over here. Anan lo kabdinan mini. We're not makbid on these kind of things around here, you know. If Ula's got problems, he can go to another yeshiva. And then there was another maisa. Abaye was in front of Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef said to him, could you hand me my hat, please? So havli kumtai. So Abaye saw that there was some tal on the hat. Now, this is the basis of those who understand, like Tosfos, we're talking about over the whole sugya, was talking about drops of tal. It wasn't talking about drops of dust. And that's how it got involved in Libun. So anyway, so Abaye was afraid that he was going to do things wrong. Because if he gave him the hat without cleaning it off, it would be like very insulting, you know. But on the other hand, maybe he wasn't allowed to clean it off because he wasn't sure if it was important to Rav Yosef that it be cleaned. And he was like sitting there hesitant. So Havikabachas, same lamentably, he was hesitant to give it to him. So Rav Yosef saw it and said, don't worry about it. Shake it out, man. Shake it out. We don't care at all over here. So we're not makpid on wearing a beged that's got tal on it. So if you want to shake it out and it makes you feel better, please, by all means. Om Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Om Rav Yochanan. Hayotzei betalit mekupelet munachat haketefo b'shabbat. You go out from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, or usually vice versa, I should say, Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, and you've got your talis that is folded up, and it's on your shoulder. So then you would be chayev achatas. Because what we're talking about over here, not that it's mamish fault, that we've had before, we know that that's considered to be not derech malbush at all. Here we're talking about that you do have the talis on you, Except instead of it extending over your shoulders, you bring up the sides of the tallit and you bring it up so it's entirely on top of your shoulders and doesn't cover your arms at all, is what we're talking about. And you took the back, you know, you pulled it up. So now it's over your head, but the whole thing is like around your shoulders hanging in the front, right? So that is considered to be also, that was his chiddush. And what apparently is going on over here is that what you wanted to make sure is that your talis, your tzitzis weren't dragging along the ground, and therefore you bedafka are not wearing it the way that it's normally worn. And if that's the case, you would be chayav achatas if you went outside like this. Tanya nami hachi. So charei chesut hayotzim metalitot mekupalot u'menachot al ketfehem b'shabbat. People who are sellers of clothes, so then that's the normal way that they would carry, because they're carrying a lot of different talitot to show. Remember, the talit in those days was didn't mean a talis that you wore in davening. That's how they dressed. So if he would go around, you know, he's got this color talis, that color talis, and so on. And you, because yeah, you're chayav chatas. Now, it doesn't mean that you need to be a clothing seller. Lo sochrei ksut bilvad amru. Anybody. The reason that we bring in the fact that people will carry it this way is because since Darkan Shemochrim, let Saint Boats, who were talking about the Dover HaHoveh, but we're also showing you that that is considered to be normal. The same thing would be true. Let's say a guy has a makolet, right? So he's a shopkeeper. And he's Yotzei B'ma'ot HaTzurim Lo B'Sadino. So he often needs change. So what he does is he has sewn into his talit, he's got like coins that he's able to open it up and give it this change when it's necessary. Though that's considered to be a derech avotza as well. He would be chayav achatas. V'lo chen v'ni bilvad. Now this is true about anybody. It's el kol adam. The point is that darko shochen v'ni letzeit bo. So since there are people, even though this is not, I mean, you think you want to carry coins, put them in your wallet, right? But the point is that since there are people that need to do it this way, it's considered to be a derech. Haratanim yotzim besudarim sha'al kitefan. Ratanim. Ratanim. What exactly are ratanim? Rashi says it's Sa'asra. It's the name of a place. However, there are other pshatim in the Rishonim, including ratanim being a shortened form of rahatanim, meaning people that are running. So because of that, they may be rahatanim in the sense of being professional delivery men or whatever. And therefore, we say the same thing, that if they go out with their sudarim al-ketefan, and that they needed to walk that way because otherwise it would keep getting in the way of their running. So that would make a lot of sense. If it's Ratanim as a place, then it would mean that's the way that these people would usually wear their handkerchiefs. And we're not talking about Ratanim Bilvad. To them it's Begadim, but to anyone it's considered to be a Begad. It's Dark and Sharatanim, so we're using them as an example. And as far as wearing these, is it more like bandanas or, you know, semi-head covering, but no larger than maybe like a cape kind of thing. So Amrib Yudit was also a Maisa with Hurkanes, the son of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanes. And he went out wearing that sudar on his shoulders, except in order to make certain that it wouldn't fall off, he had a thread that was wrapped around his finger. So that way he was able to hold on to it because he was afraid if it would fall off, maybe he would come to pick it up and without thinking, he would like continue walking while he was putting it on and then he would be carrying it arba mispushus harami. But when they came and asked the Chachamim whether this was right, they said, it's 100% okay and this is not the kind of thing that you have to worry about to have dafka anima kruchalo bedzbo because it's a normal way of walking and it's not the kind of thing that often falls out. It's the way that people go. that Alocha Alpha Bishainima Krukalobetzbotop, that's how we pask it. Ula once came to the yeshiva of Asi Barhini. So they asked him, what would be the din of making a marzev? Now, we don't know exactly what that is. The Gemara is going to explain it. I mean, obviously, they weren't asking whether you were allowed to make a rain gutter on Shabbos. I mean, that would be bena. It was understood that they were talking about their clothing. So what exactly would be making a marzev, which we saw before we were talking about the marzev, in terms of the way that you would shape a leaf. Remember the hadas that you stuck into your wine barrel in order to get the wine flowing easily. That type of shape is called a marzev. So they were talking about that type of thing on their begonim. What would that mean? Anyway, he said to them that I learned from Rabbi Eloi, you're not allowed to make a marzev on Shabbos. But what did they mean with a marzev? Amar Rabbi Zera, they meant kisei bavliyata. They meant to the way those people in Bavel, they make these pockets. What exactly was that? So that was talking about a type of beged which was quite long when it was in its initial state. And what you would do is you would make either a ruffle in it that would pick it up, and then it would sort of like go down, it's sort of like the women's dresses that have these fancy gowns that have those kind of ruffles, not the ones that are vertical, but that are horizontal, one beneath the other. So then they're like pockets because you're between in each ruffle, you'd be able to stick something. Or it means, what?
Pleats
are vertical, I think. I'm talking about, that's badafka, not pleats. Or it could mean actually a cuff, which is one way of understanding it, like Rashi. So they would make these, they would pick it up, and they had like a string in it, a thread in it, and they could like pull it tight so that it would stay that way. And the question is, can I do that on Shabbos or not? So that's what the Kisei Bavliyata, and he was saying that Lamaisa, if that's the case, then it would be something that is a permanent change in the baguette, so that you can do. Others learned that the whole thing goes back on the sugya that we were talking about, which is carrying. So the question is, the kisei bavliyata would keep the beged again in the same state that we were talking about before, that it's like over your shoulders, not the normal way to be oilech, and that would be us. Rav Yirmiyah was sitting, learning from Rabbi Zera, and he was trying to figure out, like, so there's so many different ways that this is done. Like, how about like this? Is that mutter? No, that's awesome. Well, how about like that? Is that mutter? But we don't exactly have the video that's supposed to come along with this stuff. So because of that, Rabbi Zera figured, so how are we going to do it without the video? So he says, listen, that's also usher, you know. But Rav Papa, who understood that we're not going to have the video, said to him, listen, there's a way to understand what comes out of all of this, all right? What's the klal over here? If you want to know the klal, the point is that kol adaita de lechanufe, if what you're really trying to do is to put this into your beged in a way, again, according to Rashi's pshat, that it's going to actually stay that way, it would be aser. If it's part of the way that you make it look nice, and it's kedei lehit na'ot, that's a different thing. That's a way to make your beged after you put it on, then you fix it up. That's getting dressed, and that's mutter. Ki yodah Rav Shisha bar Eder Rav Idi, mitna'e b'sadino have. He used to wear a talis, a sheet, which is basically what a talis is. And then he would take the sides of the talis and he would pleat it, as Richie says, make it very beautiful. And that's fine, because that was just a way to make it nice, which is completely mutter. And since that's the way that he wants to wear it, of course he's allowed to go into Rishus HaRabim like that. Kiyosrev Dimi Omar, Pamachat Yatzar Rebbe Lesadeh. Once happened that Rebbe went out into this field, and it was Shabbos, and he had the two sides of his talit on his shoulders. But over here, the back was still back down, except he didn't allow the sides to go over the side of his shoulders, which was the norm. And Rebbe Yeshua ben Zeruz, who was the son of Rebbe Meir's father-in-law, was a brother-in-law to Rebbe Meir, he said to Rebbe, isn't this the case that Rebbe Meir said you're chayav achatas? So Rebbe said, whoa, you're kidding. Dikdik Rebbe Meir at kan? Like Rebbe Meir went that far and he held, even though I'm wearing it pretty normally, it's just that it doesn't go over my shoulders. He held it. That was all. I thought it was mamash mutter, and he thought it was a chayav achatas. Whew. So he immediately was shilshel Rabbi talito. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, you got it all wrong as usual, okay? It wasn't Yoshua ben Zerus that had said this to Rebbe. It was actually Yoshua ben Kafusoi, who was the son-in-law of Rebbe Akiva, not with Rebbe Meir. And he said to Rebbe, didn't Rebbe Akiva say that wearing it this way is a chiyav chatas? And then Rebbe said, whoa, Rebbe Akiva was so medaktik, shilsha Rebbe talis. That's what's really happened. And Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda came from Eretz Yisrael, they all said it wrong. Chas v'shalom, when Rebbe would have done something that it could have been a shaychus to somebody that he would be chayav achatas, absurd. What happened was that someone came over to Rebbe and asked him, am I allowed to wear my talis like this? And Rebbe was like being done, and he was saying, I think it's mutter, because as long as you leave it down in the back, and so on. And then they came, is it mutter? Didn't Rebbe Meir say it's a chiyav chatas? And Rebbe immediately drew back on the psak, but it's not that he himself was wearing anything like that. Okay, and now we are ready for the man who wears the talis on Shabbos, and because of that, he wears it so beautifully, they actually end up calling him the Talisker Rebbe, and they actually named a drink for him, and he's ready to give us an introduction.
I'm thinking about how dirty those tzitzit are going to get as they drag along the floor, because you can't lift your talis up.
No, of course you can lift your talis up, but you don't want to take it off from coming around the side, which was the normal way of wearing a talis. Actually, my father, Zal, instructed me when I was about to get married and put on my talis. He was telling me that I should be very careful that when I make the bracha on the talis, not to do it the way everybody does it, which is by pulling the whole thing around and putting it around your neck. And he says, that's bichlal, not derech levisha. It's certainly not proper atifa. And because of that, you'd be making, if you don't do it properly, you'd be making a bracha levatala. Where was the ituf hatalis? You should bedafka leave it in such a way, because of this gemara, that it goes over your shoulders a little bit also. Not, you know, it's a favorite balabatim that are not very mock, but on a real talis, and it's a little cloth that you wear, you know. So that's why.
What about them?
I like them. I definitely like Teimanim.
I do too. I love them. They don't wear it on the back. They bring it over their song.
I'm not sure that that's true, that they do that the same way that today people who are Makpid do it. I don't recall ever seeing the older Teimanim wearing talitot like that. Not at all. Anyway, but the Talisker Rebbe has got a lot to tell us about this issue. And here he goes. A guy went to a cave, which was actually a way of talking about the Arizal's mikveh kind of thing, except it was a heated mikveh, you see. Bad boy, you're not supposed to do that on Shabbos. Or he went ahead and he washed in Meitveria. Okay, now I don't want to say anything about this guy, but the point is he's wet. So now what? I mean, let's face facts. He's going to use that towel. All right, so now he's got a towel, and he's going to walk home. And the question is, before he comes into the house, and his wife gets all upset that his towel is dripping on the floor, will he squeeze out his towel? Do we have to be chashish on his towel? Now, that's the issue of a year. And in order to avoid that problem, he came in with 10 different towels. You know, and that way he spreads the water out over a lot. Nothing is really wet. Nonetheless, he's not allowed to go home with those towels. On the other hand, if you got 10 people together who went into this Mara, and all they have between them is one towel. Now, you can imagine that towel is going to be a very wet towel. Nonetheless, they would be allowed to wash, even though it says to dry, even though it says Panemi Demiragliam, that's just because that's the norm. But as Rashi points out, obviously it's their whole body as well. And even though it's soaking wet, because there are other people there to remind them that, no, don't do that. At Shabbos, you're not allowed to squeeze it. So because of that, we're not choshesh in that case, and they can carry back even a soaking wet towel. You're allowed to be sachin of a mashmashin. You could put oil on your skin. You could massage that oil, massage your body. Avlo mit amli. Mit amli means both things. You can't get the kind of massage that really beats you up. And it also means you cannot exercise to the point of getting sweaty, in which you're, because we view all of those things as being a getter of refuah, says the Rambam. Velo mit gararim, and you cannot scrape the skin. In those days, we'll see in the Gemara, they used to have special scrapers for the skin. And we'll see in the Gemara what the problem would be. Eino sina fiktoizin, which we've spoken about so many times, you can't take an emetic. Ve'ein ma'atzvin et hakatan, you can't straighten out the baby, which turns out that we're talking about, if it is a lefufa yenuka, which is swaddling. And that is not similar to refuah. It just looks like you're wrapping up in a blanket. Swaddling is fine. So what we have to be talking about over here, ma'atzvin, is beyond swaddling, which we'll talk about exactly what it is. In ma'gzirin et hashever, you cannot set a bone that broke. And mishenifrika yodo v'raglo, wait until the Gemara, because this is not la'alocha. Mishenifrika yodo v'raglo, if you have a dislocated hand or dislocated foot, you cannot be torfem betzonein avorochetu kedarko. So you can't massage them with cold water, which is what's often done, bederech refuah, but you can just wash and im nitrape, nitrape. Now, let's start again. When you said me me'ara, and you compared it to me, Tveria. So obviously we're talking about hot water over here, right? So ma me Tveria chamin, af me me'ara, we're talking about over here that this was hot water that had been heated before. And the point is that it's telling me, harochet, somebody who did this. So in other words, it's not something that you're allowed to do. So even though we ended up being matir in the end, remember we started off asring, but in the Gemara came out before, you are allowed to go to Chamei Tveria. So that means that what we're talking about over here is a way to point out that the Mei Mara are warm, and that's why it said Arochet, to imply that you shouldn't have gone there in the first place, because since it's hot, you shouldn't have done that. And from there, the Mishnah is pointing out that the only problem you over here would be that you went into the Mei Mara. But suppose you wanted to take a shower. If you took a shower, it would be Lechora Mutter, because saying Afilu Lechatchila, you'd be allowed to take a shower. So who is the man, the armor, that says that you're allowed to take a hot water shower on Shabbos? It's going, obviously the water wasn't heated on Shabbos, and obviously it's not talking about where cold water is coming into a boiler, which will involve you in an issur of cooking. But if you've got hot water, you'd be allowed to shower with it if you just put it in a container and open the container. Says the Gemara, it's apparently the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, lo yishtatef adam bein b'chami bein mitzonein divir b'meir. That on Shabbos, you cannot even take a shower of your entire body, neither with hot or cold water. As Rabbi Shimon is matir, you could do either, so that it would be not the normal way in which you would bathe, where you would go into the Mara, and therefore it's not considered to be Asur, as Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends. Bechamin asur, bitzonein mutar. So in other words, he agrees that you're allowed to shower because it's not the normal bathing if it's cold water. But the din of not using hot water that was heated even before Shabbos, that he holds, remains asur, even in a shower. And then the Mishnah says that if you got 10 people, you've got 10 towels, you still wouldn't be allowed to take them home. And the truth is, both things in the Mishnah are telling us to be Kiddush. I mean, the first part of the Mishnah is telling us a Kiddush, and the second is telling us a Kiddush. The first one is telling us the Kiddush, that even though you got so many towels that undoubtedly there's not too much water in any of them that would tempt you to rinse it out, but since you're only one person, given the Chadu, we're worried that it's going to be Atili de Shrita. The Sefer also tells us a Kiddush, which is the opposite, that even though you've got 10 people with one towel, which means that it's very wet, but since there are Rabbi and Midakri Hadadi, they'll remind each other and will not come to Chilul Shabbos. Tana Rabbana. Mistapeg adam ba'aluntit u'menicha b'chalon. You're allowed to dry yourself off with a towel and leave it in the window of the bathhouse. Okay, we don't do this today nowadays. In other words, to utilize even cold water, we ended up going aliba the shitas that we should be makpid even on cold water, and that's become the accepted halacha. And so a chalonot is basically the word for a locker. Remember, a chalon didn't mean a window in those days. A chalon meant a place in the wall that you could keep something. So this would be like a standard locker that you would have in your gym and so on. So you'd be allowed to put the damp towel into your locker. But don't give it to the ulyarin. Those are the people who are in charge of the bathhouse attendants. Because they can't resist. They're so used to squeezing it out, and they'll take it and they'll squeeze it, and therefore you can't put them in that matzah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, you can dry yourself, balunti tachat, even if all you've got is one towel, it's going to be very wet, and you're even allowed to bring it home. Well, what about the halacha that we had? He's not in any way worried about it. Obviously, I mean, there's no issur of carrying he's talking about. I guess, you know, that it's all one rishus, so there was an eruv or whatever. And therefore, he held that it was against the Mishnah, that there's no gezerah. Omalei Abayel Rav Yosef, and how do we paskin? Omalei, look, there's so many materian about this. This is Rabbi Shimon, okay? There's also Rabbi. There's also Shmuel. There's also Rabbi Yochanan. I'll show you every one of them is matirin. Because Rabbi Shimon, I just told you, the Braita says you're allowed to take it home. The Farish Rabbi is also in a Braita. I'm a Rabbi. When we used to learn Torah by Rabbi Shimon in Tekoa, so we used to, remember Rabbi Shimon Shita, that all of the various sub-rishuyas of Rishus HaYachid are considered to be a Rishus, one Rishus. It doesn't matter. You're allowed to carry, therefore. We carried for him. We carried oil and we carried towels. We carried from the chotzer up to the gog, from the gog to another guy's backyard. And achayinu magine etzel ha-mayan, shayinu rochatzim bo, we got to the mayan where we would take our baths. And apparently they would bring it back. They didn't leave it there. And as Tosus explained, we're assuming that Rabbi Shimon, who at that time was not an older person, but he was the Rosh Shiva, and it wouldn't be right for anyone to go into the bath with him, because it says it's not correct unless he's a Zaken and requires your help to go with him. So apparently Rabbi Shimon would take the towel, bring it back, and Rabbi was quoting this as the way that we used to do in order to imply that this is what he held halacha was. Shmuel also holds that there's no problem in even one person and having a very wet towel, because Shmuel was quoted by Rabbi Yehuda, not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda, and he said that mistapeg adam ba'aluntit umeviya biyado letoch beito. It said beferish, and Rabbi Yochanan, Dom Rabbi Barav and Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is yes, mistapeg adam ba'aluntit umeviya biyado letoch beito, and there's no problem. What Rabbi Yochanan said that? How could Rabbi Yochanan say that? Miyom Rabbi Yochanan Achi? Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan always paskin like the Stam Mishnah? Our Mishnah is the Stam Mishnah, and it says even if you had 10 towels and there was barely any water in any of them, you still wouldn't be allowed No, because Rabbi Yochanan's gears in the Mishnah was that that was not a stam. It was said in the name of Ben Chachinai Matnei Lezer. Because of that, it was no problem. It's Divrei Ben Chachinai. That it's mutter for these bathhouse workers to bring the towels for the women that are going to be going to the mikveh or to the bathhouse on Shabbos, and that would be okay. As long as they don't carry it mamish, because over here it's not talking about there was an eruv, but they had to make sure that they were wearing these towels mamish like a talit, so it would have to cover most of their body, and it was put over them. At least that's how Rashi understands it. Not all the Rishon, especially the Rambam, does not agree that they have to mamish be carrying them in that fashion. He just told that they have to be roi, to be clothing. Okay. So, this is not directly nogea, the thing that we just learned. And how about a sachinata? So a sachinata is a kind of post-bath kerchief. So that usually your hair, when your hair is wet, you don't want it to go, you don't want to go outside in cold weather. So it's like a type of special thing that's worn around the head to protect your wet hair. But if you want to go out into Rosh Hashanah, a rabbi, it needs to be tied underneath, because otherwise we're choshish that it will fall off and that you're going to end up carrying it. That's not the only problem. We're talking about over here beneath. It doesn't mean that you take a little string, you tie it under your chin. It has to go low enough so that it should go lamata miktefayim. That's the way that it's considered to be a beggar. It should be below the shoulders. Amalu Ravel of Bnei Mechuza. The Bnei Mechuza had this problem that the government was mechayev them at times to use their homes and their food and so on. And they had to take care of their soldiers and they had to bring them their cleaned uniforms and bring them food to eat. It was a pretty tough thing. And obviously they couldn't sit around and complain that it was Shabbos and they're not allowed to do it. So what are you going to do when you have to be ma'avritu mani levnei chela? You're going to be bringing the uniforms to the shoulders. So then what you want to do is put them on in such a way sh'arvivu b'lamata miktefayim, wear it so that it goes beneath your shoulders, so that there it's much more like wearing than it would be carrying. The next thing we learned was sarchin umamashmashin. So you could put oil, massage the oil into the skin. Tana Rabbanan, sarchin umamashmashin b'vnei me'ayim b'shabbos. You can do that even on your abdomen, even though it's like you're in pain. So you would think, okay, so then that would be begetter refuah if I'm doing that to take away my tummy ache. But you could do it as long as you don't do it as an uvde b'chol. You don't want to do it the way you normally would do it. So, okay, what's considered to be not the way normally? I mean, you're telling me that there has to be a shinui. There's various ways of making shinui. I mean, there could be shinui in the etzem act. There could be shinui in the preparation for the act. What exactly is sufficient to be called a shinui? Says Rav Chama Bar Chanina, well, I don't know. During the week, I usually start massaging and then I put the oil on as I'm massaging, you know. So, and therefore, here, what you should do is first, you should get the oil over him and then massage him. Now, here, the Talisker Rebbe is a major expert on, Indian massage, and he can tell us when they used to pickle him on Erev Shabbos. Richie, how did they do it?
they just pour it on top of it. There were different methods, but one of them was that they pour it on you, and just hot oil goes down, and don't ask how much.
First they poured, and then they massaged. Okay. So indeed, Rabbi Yochanan says that's the normal way, and therefore they should do it the opposite way. So according to me, they should do it all at one time. They should start massaging and use the oil as they massage. Then it says you cannot be mit amlim, which means, as I said, two different things. It's one really giving a good pounding massage, and the other is to exercise in such a way that it brings you to start sweating. And Omer Pchia Barava, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Asur La'amod, Bekarka Ita, Shaladiyum said, are you, Barnea, is the Yumset River a Barnea neighborhood location? And can you give us more information? Okay. So because that river is very, very powerful, and it also has like salt, it's got sources of salt water, and because of that, it's basically being merapa you on Shabbos. So it's like giving you a good pounding massage with I guess, you know, Yamamelach kind of stuff, which is always considered to be a great way of therapy. Omer Rav Yonah Rav. Look, the Yumset River only has these kinds of refua for 21 days out of the year. So if you're going to go there, you make sure that it's during that time. That includes, by the way, one of those days is Shavuos. Okay, one of those days, does that mean it starts on Shavuos, or it means it ends on Shavuos? Or, I mean, you're certainly not just saying one day Bichlal, as you're trying to give us a mark of some kind, right? Well, says the Gemara, Tashma, Diyomer Shmuel, all types of kinds of the drinks that we've been talking about making, you know, the borscht kind of drinks and the spinach kind of drinks and so on. All of those kind of drinks are actually their best power is from Pesach till Shavuos. So apparently, a Pesach to Shavuos is a good time, in which case Shavuos would be the end of the time. And over here, it's not the whole period. It's only 21 days. So that doesn't prove anything. I mean, over there where you're talking about the drinks, that's because the colder the weather is, so that gives you a more of a refuah to have the drink because of the cold weather. But over here, the thing with the Yumset River is that it's got a lot of heat, and the therapeutic effect, remember, of these kind of hot springs and so on, are hevel. So it's like the steam that comes out. So maybe just the opposite. I mean, maybe the warmer things are, the better it is, and therefore Shavuos in that case would be the beginning of the period. And because of that, kiva dechamin alma, the hotter it is outside, tvei mali, the better the Yumset is. Is Barnea ready to tell us something? He looks like he's not yet. Omer Rabbi Chalba, you should know that the Yumset was a very, very favored spot at the time of the Aseres HaShvatim. And man, oh man, you can get so attached to these kind of hot springs that if you got a little bit of the wine from Prugisa and you go to the Yumset, it didn't take too many centuries till it basically wiped out the Aseres HaShvatim. These guys were so incredibly high livers because of these things. They ended up not learning enough, forgetting the halachas, and ended up, because of that, going into gullus. So you got to be very careful not to overindulge in chamda de prugita or maya de deryumset. Actually, it once happened that Rabbi Lazar ben Arach went there, and he ended up getting so turned on, Imshech Batrayo, you thought he was only on vacation, he ended up becoming so attached to them, he forgot everything that he learned. This is Rabbi Lazar ben Arach. Now, actually, the truth is a medrash that says it's not as pashut as it looks. And that what happened was, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach was one of the Chamisha Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan was talking about how incredible they were. So the maisa was that after Rabbi Yochanan He had been massacring the whole Apronius neighborhood of Yavne, and all of the other Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan were listed over there. They went to Yavne. And Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, because of his wife, who was from Emmaus, he wanted to be with his wife. And they had a nice villa over there. And he wasn't going to go to this newfound place called Yavne. And he figured, I mean, he was the gadol of the Talmidim, and he figured all of the other Talmidim are going to end up coming and moving to Emmaus, and therefore he'll end up having a nice chabura over there, and he's going to have this nice community that he was going to start. Anyway, it turned out nobody else came. So he ended up, because of that, being all alone over there. His internet was down the whole time, so he never had anybody to learn with. And he ended up being getting so connected to this and not having anybody to bring back his learning. They ended up forgetting his learning. So when he finally gave in and he went back to yeshiva, Tzuki Yehuda, so they gave him an aliyah. He gets up and his aliyah was HaChedesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. And he starts laning for his aliyah. And instead of saying HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, he says HaCheresh Haya Libam. Their hearts have become dumb. Oh my God. He forgot how to read, and min hashamayim, it was like extremely embarrassing. Look at this, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, instead of renewing himself, has become an idiot. So bo rabbanan rachamei Allah, so they daven for him that he should recover his learning. Baruch Hashem, hoda talmudei. V'ayin etzan, that story basically is the way you see in the Mishnah Novice, Rabbi Nohorai Omer, because it's based on this actual event. You should always go, even if it's to a place you don't want to live in. You know, and your wife is claiming, oh, no, 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 come on, I can only live in Borough Park. Forget about it. So be gole l'makom Torah. Do not assume the Torah is going to come after you. You have to be in a place where you're going to be able to have people to learn with. And that's because chaverecha yikaimu biyadecha. The fact that you have others around there, that will constantly remind you of your learning. You'll be Isaac with them. You'll hear them dealing with other mesechtas while you're dealing with one thing. And things really remain alive and fresh. Ve'el binatcha al tisha'e, never just rely on your own isolated abilities. They end up, if you don't have somebody with you, you're going to end up just going downhill. You need challenge and constant dealing with all types of other issues besides the one that you happen to be talking about. Tana, by the way, this is Rabbi Nohorai. You should know that Tana Rabbi Nohorai is not really Rabbi Nohorai. His real name was Rabbi Nehemiah. The reason, some say actually, his real name is Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, and that he actually learned the Maisa from his own terrible experience. Why do we call him Rabbi Nohorai in the Mishnah Novice? Because he, in fact, ended up being Manhir Enei Chachamim Balacha, which is a beautiful, ironic ending. He was the one that enlightened everyone else's eyes Balacha when he ended up joining them. Avalomid Garin, you do not, not allowed to scrape your skin. Tana Rabbanan in Gorin b'migreret b'Shabbat. There was apparently this special kli, which Rashi mentions.
A strigal.
Rashi mentions. Yeah, Rashi mentions a strigal, and it was made usually out of like really nice material. So I'm very popular in the days of the Romans, and because of that, it would be an uvda dechol. So in Gorin b'migreret b'Shabbat, Rabbi Shimon ben al Gamliel Omer, yeah, but I mean that's only if it's just like not particularly focused behavior. But I mean, if you're dirty, obviously you're allowed to scrape off the dirt. That's not called an uvda dechol. It's just called keeping clean. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yehuda Avdalei Imein, the mommy of Rabbi Shmuel bar Yehuda, made him a special silver strigel. And that was made miyuchad for Shabbos, so it wouldn't be uvda dechol. Nobody would use a silver strigel. Ein yordin l'kordima, you can't go down into the Mishnah. It says you can't go down to the Kordima on Shabbos. And what is wrong with the Kordima? The reason is, my time, Mishum Pika, because we're afraid that, now Rashi learns Pika means you can end up slipping. And if you slip, you'll get your clothes wet, and therefore you'll come maybe to squeezing them, and you'll be over on Dash or Libun, and therefore you should avoid getting into that position, because like that's where the kids love to play, so that they go flying down like a water slide. Ve'ino sina fikto zin b'shabbat, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is only to make an effectoizin, which is an emetic, to use it as a medicine. In other words, you actually make something that you're going to be taking orally, and therefore we have our gezeira of shrika samamani. But I mean, it doesn't mean you can't put your finger in your mouth to cause you to vomit. Tanya, Rabbi Nechemya Omer, forget it. You're never allowed to do that. That is absolutely disgusting. You're nuts. Af pechola, sir. You can't even do that. What are you, a filthy Roman? You can't do that even during the week. Mishum hefsed ochlin. I mean, when you're just wasting your food because you got to have another steak? It's disgusting. The Einma, this, of course, is talking about where you are not in the Alka-Seltzer mode. I can't believe I ate the whole thing. So if you can't believe you ate the whole thing, then Enochinami, you are certainly allowed beyond to cause yourself to vomit. Ve'in ma'atzvinat ha-katan, Amar Rabba Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, you are allowed to swaddle an infant on Shabbos. What? But I thought the Mishnah says, ein ma'atzvin et ha-katan, isn't that swaddling? No. It's a different situation. We had this earlier, that one is talking about in the Mishnah, which is Otzer. That's talking about Bechumre Shidra, the Merzei Kibona. That's talking about giving this whole chiropractic thing to set the spine straight and so on. Now, that looks like you're setting up the child, and therefore it would be begetter minion. But just to be lafufe, it just looks like you're wrapping the kid in a towel. And you can't set a bone in machzirin et hashever. Amar Rabbi Chana bagadata Amar Shmuel. He quoted Shmuel as saying that the girsa in the Mishnah is completely wrong, and it says it's supposed to say you're allowed to set a bone on Shabbos. That's the point, and therefore halacha machzirin et hashever, because it's considered to be dangerous to allow, as the Mishnah Berurah speaks out, it's considered to be dangerous to allow a bone over Shabbos not to be set. That can end up never being set properly. It can end up really endangering sakonas eiver. Sakonas eiver is mutter to fix on Shabbos. And there's no gezeira derabbanan against it. You can't be machal Shabbos at sakona mamish, but it's still considered to be something where there's no problem of the gezeira of shkikah samamon. I mean, therefore, it's mutter. Rabba Bar Bar Chana once came to Pumpedita, and in Pumpedita, as we saw before, Rav Yehuda, he was the Rosh Hashiva over there, and he didn't show up to shir. I mean, when I go to shir over here, I don't live here. What's he going to do to me, you know? So he doesn't show up to shir on Shabbos. And Rav Yehuda was very upset that he didn't show up to shir. And so he sent Ada Dayala. That was the Ada was the guy that used to do all the dirty jobs for him. And he sent him and said, you go ahead and grab his clothes until he's ready to come to shir. So go Garbe, grab everything he's got. When he's ready to come to shear, you can let him dress. So fine. So the guy goes, he takes away Rabba Bar Bar Chana's clothing. All right, I'm coming to shear. I guess he got there a little bit late, but anyway, finally arrives. So Ata, he shows up and he hears that Rav Yehuda is discussing these dinim. And he quotes the Mishnah the way we have it. And he said, Ein machzirin et hashever b'shabbat, you're not allowed to put a bone, set a bone. Omar lay, so Rabba Bar Bar Chana said, well, I could tell you what Rav Chana Bagadita said. You know, back in Baghdad, we know what the din is. He quoted Shmuel as saying the girsa is wrong. And in fact, halacha machzirnes hashever, which is in fact the din. So Rabbi Yehuda said, oh, that's incredible. You know, you may come from Baghdad. Chana, this is crazy. Chana is the Dun, and Shmuel is the Dun, and we never heard of this. And if you hadn't come over here, what would have happened? We would never have known the right din. No? Wasn't it a good thing that I had you dragged out this year? Ha ha! So you admit it. So lav bedina garavtich. Mi shenifrika yado, and this is the last piece, if his hand became, or his foot became dislocated, so it says, you're not allowed to massage him, you can put them into cold water. Rav Avya v'yasikamid Rav Yosef. Rav Avya was in front of Rav Yosef, and he had a problem because his hand had become dislocated. So he goes over to Rav Yosef and he says, listen, I mean, it says you're not allowed to like reset it. Can I do it like this? You know, they put his hand this way and pull it. Nope. Well, can I do it like that? Nope. Anyway, meanwhile, he showed him so many ways he could do it that he fixed it. You know, so everything was great. Okay, it's good to know that it's usher. See you later, alligator. So, hachimai, no, usher, hachimai, usher. And so he finally got it right, and he ended up fixing his hand. So Rav Yosef said to me, anyway, I don't understand. What are all these questions? I mean, doesn't the Mishnah say beferish? Mishnevrika yado arago lo yitrufei mitzonin avorochetz kedarkov im nitrapei nitrapei. So like, what was your shaila? In other words, you're not supposed to do the type of thing that is clearly being done as a refuah. So Rav Avya said to him, you're going to bring me a riot from the Mishnah? Man, oh man, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to set a bone. And then comes along Rav Chana Bagadata, and he quotes Shmuel as saying, nah, that was all wrong. It really said you are allowed to set a bone. So what do I know? It says over here you're not allowed to fix your dislocated elbow. Maybe what it's supposed to say is you are allowed to fix your dislocated elbow, you know? Marlay said, Rav Yosef, okay, come on, man. What, everything is going to be woven in the same way? If you have a place where you know for a fact that Shmuel comes along and he says, look, this is obviously the wrong gear, so fine, then it's the wrong gear, so you can't go ahead making wrong gear. What are you doing over here? Are you a member of the conservative seminary? And hechad lo itmar, lo itmar. Hadra la chavit. Can you borrow Talisker from the Talisker Rebbe on Shabbos? That is the question. And this is that which we will discuss after a Shabbos in which we're going to be missing the Talisker.